Okay, let's unpack this. We've all been there, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely.
That fleeting spark of motivation, maybe a great idea, or just that, quiet impulse for a positive change. It bubbles up, you feel that urge to act, and then, well, a moment of hesitation, just a tiny whisper of doubt, maybe.
Yeah, it's just enough.
Few seconds tick by, and poof, the moment's gone. The idea fades, motivation dips, and you're left wondering, what if?
That what if feeling, yeah.
So many of you have probably heard of Mel Robbins's the 5-second rule. Sounds, I don't know, kind of simple.
Deceptively simple, maybe.
Right. But today we want to go deeper than just the catchy title. We want to really get into the science-backed power it
There's
holds.
more to it than meets the eye.
We've dug into a great summary of her really popular book and also a detailed guide from Short Form Books, pulling out the key insights.
It's stuff in there.
Our mission today, to show you why this isn't just some gimmick, but actually a Well, a potent tool for transforming things, your life, work, confidence, all 1 5-second decision at a time.
And what's truly fascinating, is that at its core, the 5-second rule is really a metacognition tool.
Metacognition, thinking about thinking.
Exactly. It's a deliberate mental trick. It's designed to bypass our natural tendency to hesitate and just push us into immediate purposeful action.
Okay.
Mel Robbins herself, she puts it pretty bluntly. She says, "It takes just 5 seconds to change your life." Sounds like a gimmick, doesn't it? It's not. It's science.
It's science. Okay, I like that.
And that science claim is exactly what we need to explore, how this simple countdown actually uses, fundamental psychological principles to help us take charge.
It does sound almost too simple, doesn't it? But this whole idea hinges on understanding this tiny, crucial window of time.
Right, that 5 seconds.
We've all felt that spark, that urge, only for it to just vanish. Our sources say there's a surprisingly tight window for acting, and missing it is, well, not great.
Definitely not.
Could you elaborate on this 5-second window? Like, what's actually happening in our brains? Why is it so critical?
Absolutely. The sources, they lay out a pretty stark reality. There's basically just a 5-second window of opportunity between having that productive thought or impulse, that little nudge to do something positive, and your brain starting to generate this whole cascade of excuses, doubts, reasons not to do it.
Okay, the killjoy part of the brain kicks in.
Pretty much. So the rule itself is elegant, really. The moment you have an impulse to act on a goal, you must push yourself to act within 5 seconds, or your brain will kill the idea.
And then the countdown.
Yeah.
Five,
Four.
four, three, two, do.
Like a mental rocket launch. That's a good analogy.
It really is. You have the impulse, you count down, and you launch yourself into action. Now, if we connect this to the bigger picture, this short window exists partly because our brain's tendency to overthink anything new, anything non-habitual, well, it's often a protective mechanism.
Trying to keep us safe. Kind of. Guarding against perceived unknowns, negative consequences, keeping you comfy in your usual routine. It's like your brain goes, "Whoa, hold on, this isn't standard procedure. Let's list all the reasons this might be bad or uncomfortable."
Okay, so that's the moment.
That's precisely the point where doubts just crowd out the desire and that chance for action. It can be lost. Psychologists sometimes call it the intention behavior gap.
Intention behavior gap, where good intentions just fizzle out.
Exactly. Our conscious desires don't translate into action, and the rule, it's a direct intervention right in that gap.
That makes a lot of sense. How our feelings or our brain's sort of default safety mode can hijack our actual goals explains why so many good ideas never happen. But the beauty of this rule, as the sources highlight, is it's not just a clever trick. There's real science explaining how it helps us override those defaults, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you walk us through that, the brain's role in this?
For sure. It's definitely more than just, thinking positively. The main psychological thing happening is the deliberate activation of your prefrontal cortex.
Okay, the boss part of the brain.
Right, the executive control center. When you count backward, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you're essentially engaging that part. It's where we plan, make decisions, use willpower.
So you're forcing it awake, kind of.
Exactly. By forcing its activation, you're literally giving your rational self immediate control over your emotional self, which, let's face it, often defaults to comfort, inertia, avoidance. Procrastination Central, yeah. It's not just a mental hack. It's like you're disrupting the brain's default mode network. That network loves routine. It resists anything new.
Right.
By counting, you're giving your prefrontal cortex, your conscious pilot, the override code. You take command before the autopilot of hesitation fully kicks in. It lets you sidestep the limbic system's usual alarm bells, that comfort-seeking response.
So you're hijacking the hijacker.
Yeah. In a way, yes. And what's more, many of us are just habitually hesitant. We pause. And that pause gives feelings time to take over.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we logically know something is good for us, if we let ourselves dwell on how we feel about it, ugh, this feels hard, this feels boring, we're likely to ditch it.
Like doing the laundry. Nobody feels like doing laundry.
Perfect example. You know you'll feel better with clean clothes, logically. But if you let yourself think about how boring it is, the heavy hamper, hanging it up, you'll probably put it off.
Guilty.
The rule interrupts that cycle, forces a decision before those feelings dominate.
Okay, that's a really clear picture of how feelings-based avoidance works, even for simple stuff. But I can imagine listeners thinking, okay, fine, I can force myself once. But how does this become like a lasting change? Is it just brute force every time?
That's a really important question. It gets right to the heart of how this can actually be transformative.
Right. Does it build habits?
Yes. The sources explain that the rule doesn't just prime you for immediate action. It actually helps create new neural pathways for decisive action.
Oh, okay. Brain wiring.
You're building a new habit of acting, systematically replacing those old patterns of hesitation and doubt. Each time you force yourself to act in that five-second window, you're doing a kind of cognitive reappraisal.
Cognitive reappraisal meaning?
You're actively choosing to respond differently to an impulse than your usual default. You're rerouting your brain's response. And doing that consistently allows quick action to become the new habit.
So you replace the bad habit, like procrastination or doubt,
yeah,
with a positive one, like immediate action.
Right.
And you build psychological momentum. Each time you do it, it gets a tiny bit easier.
Okay, understanding the mechanics is one thing, but how do people listening translate this into actual change? What are some of the big real-world applications our sources point to?
Well, the rule's incredibly versatile, but the sources really focus on three core areas where it can make a dramatic difference.
Yeah, Eliamonis. First, its amazing effectiveness for simply jumping into action. It helps overcome resistance to non-habitual tasks, especially if you're dealing with anxiety or depression or just plain lack of motivation.
Hmm.
The sources give a great example. Say you usually just flop and watch Netflix on your day off. Feels okay, but maybe you've been feeling a bit isolated and you know deep down you'd actually feel better playing tennis with friends.
Right.
You get that gut feeling, I should text them, but then bam, the brain starts its countdown of excuses. What if I play terribly? I'll look silly. They're probably busy anyway.
The usual suspect.
Exactly. The rule helps you interrupt that. You count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and at go, you just send the text. Commit. You've bypassed the resistance, and now that commitment makes it way harder to back out. It shifts you from just thinking to actually doing.
Moves you past the mental roadblock. I like
yeah.
that. What's number two?
Second, it helps you be bold and follow your gut. It fosters what Mel Robbins calls everyday courage.
Everyday courage.
Yeah. It's about pushing yourself to act on your values, your instincts, despite your fears. Let's say you've always wanted to explore your creative side. Maybe sign up for an art class.
Uh-huh.
But that fear, I'm not good enough, I'll look stupid, holds you back. The moment you think, I should look into that class, your brain starts building that wall of what ifs.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
The rule jolts you out of that fear rut. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You click enroll or you pick up the phone. It's not just about small tasks. It's about making choices aligned with what you really want, acting despite anxiety. That leads to real fulfillment, a sense of agency.
Taking control back. Okay, and the third one, you said it was surprising.
Yeah, this one's interesting. It can help you control impulsiveness.
Wait, so it helps you start things, but also stop things.
Exactly. While its main job is often getting you moving, you can use it to curb harmful impulses. Like, you know, saying something cutting when you're angry, or making a rash purchase online.
Okay, how does that work?
By starting that countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you create a deliberate pause, a crucial moment. Spending those few seconds just focusing on the numbers instead of the urge itself gives your brain just enough time to calm down a bit.
Ah, cool down period.
Right. It lets you dismiss the impulse before you act on it. It's like a circuit breaker, shifting you from being reactive to being responsive.
That's actually really clever, using the same tool for opposite effects.
It is. And what's truly fascinating here is that while, yeah, you can apply it almost anywhere, the sources really point to those big three behavior changes people often seek. Improving health.
Getting to the gym.
Exactly. Increasing productivity at work.
Tackling that big project.
Mm-hmm. And overcoming procrastination, generally. The rule can give you that push in all those critical areas. But beyond tasks, it's also a tool for breaking mental habits, anxiety, worry, fear.
So it helps your mindset, too.
Big time. Leading to more optimism, resilience, confidence. To put it in a broader context, the overall transformative power can be immense. Building confidence, helping you find passions, improving relationships, changing your life and career. It creates this ripple effect of positive action.
That's huge potential from such a simple concept. And if someone listening is thinking, okay, where do I even start with this? Mel Robbins actually suggests a specific first test, doesn't she?
She does, yeah, a really good one.
It's simply getting out of bed 30 minutes earlier than usual.
That's the one.
And the benefits of trying this first are pretty specific, right?
They're very specific and twofold, really. First, there are hardly any external factors to blame. Your alarm goes off, you either use the rule and get up or you don't. Success is almost entirely on you.
Removes the excuses.
Totally. If you stay in bed, it's because you didn't act. Second, it's a powerful preview of how the rule feels. Pushing yourself is hard at first, but it gets easier.
You feel the resistance, then the breakthrough.
Exactly. Getting up early, you immediately experience pushing through that initial struggle, that moment, to reach a point of ease once you're actually up and moving. You see the benefit right away. It's low stakes, high impact proof to yourself that it works.
A perfect first step. So, okay, there you have it. The 5-second rule. It's clearly much more than just a catchy phrase.
Much more.
It's a practical, science-backed tool for self-motivation, for real behavioral change. Deceptively simple, yes, but the power is in that crucial 5-second window and just overriding our brain's natural resistance.
Exactly. And the power isn't just in knowing the rule exists, it's in using it consistently.
Yeah.
It's about deliberately choosing to act on those impulses that actually serve your goals, your values, instead of letting your brain's default settings just keep you stuck where you are.
Knowledge is great, but application is key.
Precisely. Knowledge is most valuable when it's understood deeply, and then most importantly, applied. Used to create tangible results in your life.
So a final thought for everyone listening. If changing your life really is 1 5-second decision at a time, what one small non-habitual impulse will you choose to act on within the next 5 seconds today? Think about that email you've been avoiding or that quick health choice, maybe that tiny step towards a bigger goal you have. Don't overthink it. Next time that impulse hits,
yeah,
just count down.
Five, down,
three, five, one, all right?